Hey K-pop fans, welcome to Journeys Through K-pop. Are you a new fan who's not sure what groups to check out first? Or are you a seasoned listener on the lookout for new groups? Do you just like hearing the ups and downs of all kinds of groups? My name is Zange. I used to be overwhelmed with the sheer amount of K-pop groups and soloists that are out there. I only stuck to listening to a couple of groups that I knew I liked and didn't bother to branch out. I just thought there were way too many options out there. However, I was eventually able to branch out because of recommendations I got from friends. They were tailored to me and the genres of music I already knew I liked, so once I knew what I was looking for, finding new groups on my own was a breeze. In this podcast, you will get recommendations of different K-pop groups and songs based on genres that you may already be familiar with. You'll also learn some of the history behind each group and where they are today. So, let's dive in! Alright, welcome back to another episode of Journeys Through K-Pop. This week we are covering BTS. Yes, I'm covering them real early on because if I don't, I feel like I'm gonna get crucified, so that's why we're covering them now. Anyways, BTS is a group currently under Big Hit Music, which is a subsidiary of HYBE Corporation. There's a whole other thing with that we don't have time to talk about right now, but they have 7 members: Jin, Suga, J-Hope, RM, Jimin, V, and Jungkook. On to their pre-debut. We are actually going all the way back to 2010 for this, but Big Hit wanted to form a hip-hop group focused around RM because of the fact that he was well-known in the underground music scene at the time as a rapper. However, plans shifted to form an idol group instead, just because logistically it worked a little bit better in terms of profits because of the revenue opportunities from things like live shows and fan support. Many of the trainees that were recruited to join this group refused to join an idol group. However, Suga, J-Hope, and RM were the trainees that remained when this decision to form an idol group instead of a hip-hop group was made. So auditions were held later in 2010 to find more members for the group, and their goal was to debut the next year, but it's not entirely certain what happened to delay that. So skipping ahead to 2013, this is their debut. June 12th, 2013, they have a single album called Too Cool for School with the title track No More Dream. This actually did not sell very well at the time, which if you know literally anything about the group today, you would find that extremely shocking. But the week of its release, it only sold 760 copies, which was a little abysmal. But by the end of 2013, they sold a decent amount of over 24,000. And despite this initial little bump in the road, they did win Best New Artist at several year-end awards shows. So we have actually divided this group up into 3 eras instead of the usual 2 like we have been, and that's just because their path and growth to where they are now is just so exponential to track that we have to split it up this way just because of how the different eras and popularities have worked, and yeah, it's a whole thing. So 2013 to the first part of 2016, we're calling this their modest beginnings because they weren't like super well-known internationally yet, but they were just kind of like there, they were doing some stuff. Their title tracks during this time are very heavily hip-hop influenced, which was very in line with the original idea for the group. And thematically, these songs are dealing with struggles of students and youth everywhere. Another part of why we've divided it up like this, but these title tracks are NO, Boy in Love, Danger, I Need You, Run, and Fire. So in 2013, they released their first mini album called Oh, Are You Late Too? And the title track on that is NO. Going ahead to 2014, their second mini album, School Love Affair, with the title track Boy in Love. And after this mini album releases, they do a concert at the Troubadour, which is a nightclub in the United States, in Hollywood. And that name may or may not ring a bell, But if you're familiar with such artists as The Eagles, Neil Diamond, Carole King, and Elton John, they all played at the Troubadour early in their career, and they went on to be huge successes. So it's almost like a little foreshadowing for the group. But yeah, crazy. Crazy to think that they did a free show at this little Hollywood nightclub, and now they're a freaking huge smash mega hit today. Anyways, going on. After their Troubadour concert, they released their first full album, Dark and Wild, with the title track Danger. And then after this, their Japanese debut happens. It's a full album called Wake Up with some Japanese versions of their past title tracks and a few originals. And it's actually a decent success in this market, hitting number 3 on Oricon. And then they continue to have releases throughout the rest of their career in Japan, and they're yet again quite successful there. Going on to 2015, their third mini album, The Most Beautiful Moment in Life Part 1, the title track I Need You, and this is the title track that nets the group their first win. Finally. Always great to have that first win, no matter how long it takes. And then later that year, they released their fourth mini album, The Most Beautiful Moment in Life Part 2, with the title track Run. And then skipping ahead to 2016, they release a compilation album to finish up this little trilogy called The Most Beautiful Moment in Life, Young Forever, with the title track Fire. And this album actually topped the Gaon chart for 2 weeks straight. So this, we're going to interpret this as a sign of what was to come. Our next era is 2016 to 2018. This is the era of their highly increasing popularity. Their title tracks during this time begin to experiment and branch out genre-wise, though most of these have trap or EDM as at least one influence. And these title tracks are Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Spring Day, Not Today, DNA, Fake Love, and Idol. In the later half of 2016, they released their second full album, Wings, with the title track Blood, Sweat, and Tears. At the time, Wings became the best-selling album in the history of the Gaon chart. This record will get smashed several times later on down the line, but I think this is really where their popularity began growing by, like, a lot. Like, people became more aware of the group, people started listening and paying attention to them more. I think this is really the turning point for the group, was this album. Then in 2017, they released a repackage of Wings under the title You Never Walk Alone. And this one actually has two title tracks, Spring Day and Not Today. Later that year, they released their fifth mini album, starting another trilogy. But this is called Love Yourself, Her, with the title track DNA. And this became the first album to sell over a million copies on the charts since 2001. And DNA is the first song by a K-pop boy group to break into the Billboard Hot 100, so that's great for them. They're doing some really great things right now. Going ahead to 2018 to their third full album, Love Yourself, Tear, with the title track Fake Love. And then another compilation album to finish out the trilogy, Love Yourself, Answer, with the title track Idol. Once again, they break another record, because this becomes the first album to sell 2 million copies on the charts since 2000. And then after this, the group renews their contract. The whole group renews their contracts through 2026, which is great. They're doing so, so great so far. They're only gonna keep getting better and better and better from here. And then we have 2019 to the present. We're calling this the era of just them becoming an absolute international sensation. And we'll kind of get to why I think this is where it starts in a second. But the title tracks in this era continue to diversify in genre, although some of them do revisit their hip-hop roots as an influence, and these title tracks are Boy With Love, On, Life Goes On, and Yet To Come, The Most Beautiful Moment. And they also released some English singles during this time, and these tend to lean more towards typical pop music styles that would appeal to American audiences. Most of these are pretty disco-influenced, so it's a really cool retro sound, but these are Dynamite, Butter, and Permission to Dance. So, 2019, we have their sixth mini-album, Map of the Soul, Persona, and their title track, Boy With Love. They actually collaborate with American artist Halsey on this track, but the album itself sold 3.2 million copies in a month, And it broke the record for the best-selling album in South Korea at the time. And let me just take a second to gear up for how insane this is. But the previous record was held for 24 years. I don't know how it went that long without being broken. But regardless, BTS did it. And to promote this album after it came out, they made an appearance on the American television show Saturday Night Live, making them the first K-pop group to make a Saturday Night Live appearance, which is just doing wonders for them. It's really a sign of how far they've come and how great and amazing they're doing. And this, I'm not even kidding. I wish I was kidding. This is literally the first K-pop album I ever remember seeing in a Walmart store. Like, it's so crazy to see K-pop albums in person. This just blew my tiny little mind back in 2019. And now I go in there nowadays and there's like so many from so many different artists. And back in 2019, it was like, huh, BTS album. That's crazy. I wonder if that means anything. Also, 2019 was the year that I definitely remember seeing BTS Funko Pops in stores. So take that as you will. 2019 is just the year they really exploded internationally, I think. I'm not sure what it was about this album specifically that had that kind of impact for the group, but by golly, they did it. Going on to 2020, they released their fourth full album, Map of the Soul 7, with the title track On. Y'all, their last album sold 3.2 million copies in a month. This one sold over 4.1 million copies in just 9 days. That is absolutely insane. And because of this, they beat their own record for the best-selling album in South Korea. Wow. They're really blowing up. Later this year, they release their first English single called Dynamite. And because of this, they are the first K-pop artists to be nominated for a Grammy, which is all kinds of wow. Like, the absolute impact that BTS is having on the American public at this point in time is just completely unprecedented. Their last release for 2020 is their fifth full album, B, with the title track Life Goes On. This was an album they created in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. This has a lot of the members' perspectives on life during this time. And the members also contributed a lot, not to just songwriting, but the album creation process as a whole. Like their songwriting, visual production, all kinds of stuff. Then in 2021, they released their second English single, Butter. I guarantee everyone and their mother has heard this song by now. I know I certainly have. If you haven't, I don't know what you have been doing with your life, but congratulations, you have somehow managed to avoid it. And this gets nominated for another Grammy, and they perform it at the Grammy Awards that year. They don't win, unfortunately. But that's still huge. And then they released their third English single, Permission to Dance. And then we skip to 2022. They release a 3-disc anthology album called Proof with the title track Yet to Come, The Most Beautiful Moment. And at this point, after this album comes out, it is announced that the group will temporarily suspend activities. This is basically just to give the members flexibility with their solo careers, as well as allowing time for them to serve their mandatory military service. Because in case you've noticed, we have not talked about any of those yet, and a lot of the members are starting to get up there in age. So Jin enlists later in 2022, and the other members enlist throughout 2023. The plan, as of now, is to reunite as a full group in 2025 after everyone has completed their military service. Also, a few very specific things worth noting regarding BTS and military service while we're on this topic. So, most men in South Korea are required to enlist in the military by the time they are 28 years old. A law was passed in South Korea in 2020 that would allow for a 2-year extension for notable K-pop artists who could apply to defer their enlistment until age 30. As you can probably figure out, BTS is an extremely notable K-pop artist. Therefore, the members of the group could apply for this extension to defer until age 30. Jin and J-Hope actually applied for this extension. However, they ended up withdrawing their applications in light of the group hiatus news. That brings us to the present day. All of the members are currently debuted as soloists. They all have their own solo releases going on. They're all currently serving in the military. I think Jin is the closest to being done since he enrolled first. And despite their current extended hiatus, they are just dearly loved by fans all over the world who are just eagerly awaiting the day that they return. They are easily the most popular, well-known, and influential K-pop group of our time. They have won just several Artist of the Year awards by now. And not to mention, they are also the best-selling. Honestly, if you're, like, complete new person to K-pop, and you really don't know where to start, and you're willing to listen to, like, anything, this is maybe the group I would recommend, just because of the sheer amount of fans that you can reach out to maybe get, like, recommendations on, like, where to start, what media to check out regarding them and such. I will say the fandom gets a bit of a bad rap on the internet, but I truly believe that there are good people in this fandom out there. So if you can find them, I think you're pretty set. And that brings us to B-side recommendation time. It's a little bit harder to do it for this group just because a lot of their B-sides, especially from their earlier days, also have the same hip-hop sound and influences. But we do have a few select genres picked out. Once again, starting with the ballads, we have Awake, Crystal Snow, and Jamais Vu. I think that's French, I don't know. We have some R&B B-sides, Just One Day, Love Is Not Over, and Answer, Love Myself. We have a good few funk-inspired B-sides, Telepathy, Miss Right, and Could You Turn Off Your Cell Phone. We have a couple of soul-influenced B-sides, Lie and Singularity. Latin pop makes a return as a genre here, which is a little surprising, but I'm not complaining. I love this genre. But specifically, we have Airplane Part 2 and Filter. And then we also get a synth-pop B-side, which is Friends. Moving on to my personal favorite, it's Blood, Sweat, and Tears. I distinctly remember being shown this, like, the day it came out by one of my friends in high school. It was my freshman year at the time, and my friend, who I think was a junior at the time, kind of showed me some BTS videos before this, and then this song came out, and they were like, look! And I just remember being so enthralled by it. I thought the song was just so cool and mysterious, and it's kind of just one of those things that gives you chills anytime you revisit it, especially the music video. Oh my gosh. And honestly, I don't really keep up with the group anymore, but despite that, this song still holds a very special place in my heart, and I love it to death, and I would not trade it for anything in the world. Alright, that is all we have for you for this week's episode. Join us next week on Journeys Through K-Pop, where we will be discussing Blackpink! Hey K-pop fans, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please take just a moment to leave a review and share it with any friends who might enjoy it. Also, be sure to subscribe to Zange's YouTube channel, Zange DuPont. It makes me so happy to know that you're enjoying this podcast. I'll be back next week with another episode. Later!